This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Hey, welcome to my weekend. Hope you're enjoying your holiday weekend as we wind down this year towards New Year's Eve, just a few days away. Coming too quick. This year just flew by. Highs and lows about the year. We'll talk about some of it today. Hey, a tip to you, by the way. Someone made this point to me. We have a little neighborhood watch where I live, and the police officer came by, and I'm throwing boxes galore out. We had all kinds of family members there with us, and we had a big box for a TV set and a couple the kids got the iPads and the computers. Well, let's just get rid of the boxes, right? Well, the police officer made, I thought, a very compelling case for being very careful about when you throw your boxes out, because what you're doing is offering clues to burglars as to what you have in the house. They then can come by later on when no one's there, and they know, hey, boy, you've got empty TV and electronic boxes and computer boxes, cameras, whatever it is. They can tell that from the boxes you put out on the front driveway. So use a little common sense, if you will, in terms of protecting yourself. I gathered up all those boxes. I happen to have a big old SUV, and I threw them in the back of the SUV and took them down to a dump to get rid of them there because I didn't want to wait for a couple of days of them sitting out there and tempting online burglars. So just a tip to you. Either unload that material someplace else or keep it till the day that the burglar comes, or the burglar, the trash people come along, because you don't want to have a break-in along that line. New Year's winding down as we had a very active 2015. I like the New Year's. I like the whole flow of what I consider the holiday trilogy, where you start with Thanksgiving, then into Christmas, and we wind down with New Year's, the beginning of a new time, if you will. It's a redemption opportunity for a fresh start, I think is a good way to put it. And I know to a lot of us it's just a date on the calendar, but New Year's Day is really a clean page, isn't it? I mean, a fresh start and a new beginning. Hopefully we've got endless possibilities, particularly for our younger folks, and maybe a bit of pregame show for the renewal of Easter. So it's all in the flow of putting our lives in perspective. Do you make New Year's resolutions? Hey, I do. I always do. A new year always brings with it promise and uncertainty, to me at least, but the coming year brings with it greater foreboding than we've experienced in the past. It's been a tough year. When you look at what's happening all over the world, when you look at the violence, our concerns about terrorism, I guess, like many of you, I'd rather be absorbed with the more mundane things in life, but that's not going to happen. In this especially time, turbulent times, if you will, but still you can't give up hope. I make several resolutions. One resolution I make, particularly as I get older, I think this is an important resolution, to maintain my curiosity. Doesn't matter how limited your perspective or how narrow the scope of your surroundings, there is, or should be at least, something to whet your interest and strike your fancy. But try something new this year. I'm a terrible artist, painter, drawer. I am just the worst. But I'm giving it a try this year a little bit more. I say that every year. That's probably included in my resolutions every single year. I had an art teacher give me a tip. He said, go get some tracing paper at the art shop. Get it at the drugstore, for that matter. Take a magazine, a cover that you like with lots of color or is busy. Turn the magazine upside down. Then lay the tracing paper on it and trace what you see. And you see it's going to have you give a perspective because you got to vision this whole project you're drawing upside down. And I've tried it a few times, and it's pretty interesting. So that's one of my my resolutions towards being more curious, to learn to draw. it ain't going to be, look, you're not going to be seeing on the internet my paintings for sale, I can tell you that. But it's going to be fun for me, and I'm off to a pretty good start. And I just say that it's important to find something to strike your fancy. You know, I discovered early on in my life that there are two kinds of people. Those who are curious about the world around them, and those whose shallow intentions are generally limited to things that pertain to their own personal well-being, somewhat selfish. I just hope all those I care about fall in the former category, and I'm including all you who are listening to my show today. Another resolution I make each year is to continue to hope. Look, I hope for successful and fulfilling endeavors for my children, happiness and contentment for family and friends, and I guess for the fortitude to handle both the highs and the lows of daily living with dignity. And there are certainly going to be some lows, especially as you get older and you lose some close friends. I lose friends every week. I don't like that. Wish it wasn't happening. But it's just the way of the world going by us. And so as you look at those lows, you want to keep your daily life with dignity and relating to your family and to each of these friends. So I just share that with you. What you doing New Year's Eve? You got your plans made? What's that great? I love that great song, by the way. What are you doing New Year's Eve? I'm Eartha Kitt. I'm not Michael Bublé sings it. One of my favorite songs. And I love New Year's Eve. I always get fired up for New Year's Eve. I'm not just staying home and watching a football game, although unfortunately, if you're a big college football fan, the two national championship playoffs are on New Year's Eve this year. So I'm sure I'll glance at the TV set as I'm making my rounds. Look, I love to sing "Auld Lang Syne," and we've all sang that. It's an English. It's at the stroke of midnight in almost every English-speaking country in the world. That's how they bring in the new year, by singing "Auld Lang Syne." It's an old Scottish tune, by the way. I know that because I'm Scottish. Words that were passed down orally and recorded eventually by one of my favorite historical poets, Robert Burns, a Scottish poet back in the 1700s. And "Auld Lang Syne" literally means old, long ago, or simply the good old days. And I don't know about you, but I can look back over many years of memorable New Year's celebrations. As I get a little older, we normally celebrate going down to New Orleans, the Crescent City, and they really take Mardi Gras seriously. Most of the national channels, I know CNN, ABC, all broadcast live during the New Year's countdown in New Orleans, right down the French Quarter, right in Jackson Square. The big ball comes down. Everyone counts it down right there. And so we recently get a gathering of family and friends at a New Orleans restaurant. And after dinner, we make our stop at the St. Louis Cathedral, just the prettiest cathedral in all of America, in my opinion. We see it, stay there a little bit for a blessing of the new year. Then it's off to join the masses for the New Year's countdown to midnight right there in Jackson Square in the center of the French Quarter. That's where I'll be this year, and I'll certainly cheer on the New Year's for each of you listeners and give you a report next week. When my kids were quite young, we spent a number of New Year's holidays at a camp we had in the middle of the Mississippi River. If you know where Vicksburg, Mississippi is, right on the river, up at the top of Louisiana and Mississippi kind of combined, if you come about 30 miles below Vicksburg, we had a family camp up that way. And on several occasions, the only people there were my family and I. And the local bishop in that part of the country happened to be named Charles Greco. He was the Catholic bishop for most of central and north Louisiana, I think some of Mississippi. Anyway, he'd baptized all three of my daughters and had been a family friend for years. And I remember on many a cold and rainy morning, the handful of us at the camp would rise before dawn for the bishop to conduct New Year's Mass. Now, look, I'm not a Catholic, but he treated me as one of his own, and it was a very moving experience to take on Catholic Mass in that way. That's one of the ways I brought in my particular New Year's. So, now look, I know New Year's means a lot of football. I also put in my chef's apron, by the way. I'm well regarded in the kitchen. You may not know that. I've got a cookbook you can find on my website at jimbrownusa.com, and I'll cook up black-eyed peas and cabbage and cornbread, and I certainly hope to find the dime in the cabbage because I'm the one that puts it in there. So wherever you happen to be, I hope you have a happy new year. Hope you're making plans for it right now. We've really got a lively show, a full pack show with you today. My website, again, is www.jimbrownusa.com. So freshen up your coffee, come on back, and we'll make some more Common Sense.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Familiar Evil, the chilling true story by Rana Gray of the international search for a television personality that exposed his dark side. Winner of 11 National Book Awards, including Best True Crime of 2017. Familiar Evil goes inside the criminal investigation that sent shockwaves from Louisiana to London. Available in hardback and ebook at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Books A Million, with signed copies at FamiliarEvil.com.
This is Bill's yard, and Bill's a grill master, not a grass expert. Still, he won't let weeds invade his backyard barbecue kingdom. And with Scott's Turf Builder Weed and Feed, Bill's greasy thumb is just as good as a green thumb. Because Scott's Weed Grip formula is twice as effective on dandelions as it used to be. So Bill can clear out weeds, green up his lawn, and hold his spatula high. This is a Scott's yard. Pick up Scott's Weed and Feed today.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of blindness in people over 55. But with treatment, it can be slowed down, stopped, and in some cases, reversed. Make sure you see your grandchildren grow. Protect your vision by requesting information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information. Or again, call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
I hate to throw some cold water on your holidays because we enjoy being around family and friends and eating so much food. Gosh, the stuff you get now from so many people... I looked into this year. I rarely got from friends or family a turkey or a ham or something like that like I used to. Just loaded with sweets, peanut brittle, candy galore, every kind of cookie and cake you can think of. And I know it's a nice little gesture. A number of people went and baked those cookies and cakes or made that candy, homemade candy. And so that's a wonderful gesture for those to give. But it sure is affecting our waistline on so many of us. New study out by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention say that over 38% of American adults are obese with a body mass index of over 30. I don't know if you know how to figure that body mass. There's several formulas to do so. I've got a little scale I get on to show my body mass. Right now, my body mass is about 21. At one time, a few years back, I was down to 9 when I was really working out a good bit. I'm going to try to get down to 19 if I can here in the next month or so. But the 38% obesity is up from 35% just a couple of years ago. And it was down to 30% back in 2004. We just can't get this crisis under control. And I know it seems like we've tried everything. If you look in the menus of restaurants, in most of the restaurants you go now, you can see the calorie count on the menu. And that helps to let you know just what you're taking in. And a lot of restaurants are really reformulating their offerings, which is good, toning down the junk food. But the soda ads are just dramatic, and the calorie counting on menus is a plus thing. It doesn't affect school. I've got a granddaughter that goes to one of the finest, wealthiest public schools in America who can really afford to do about anything, all kinds of enhancement programs. And I asked her what the menu is there, and, well, it's tacos, and it's hot dogs, and it's just junk food. That's what we're feeding our kids. So the best and the brightest minds we have don't seem to be that concerned in school about the quality of what they're getting. And so, and then if you look around, say, Europe, let's take the developed countries like Europe, usually the calorie count, the sugar count, obesity rates are half of what ours are. Now, here's what they do, and here's what I'm getting at. Hungary imposed a tax on manufactured goods with high sugar content. Finland has ratcheted up its tax on soft drinks. Both sugar and chocolate are taxed in Norway. In Denmark, they've increased by 25% its excise tax on chocolate, ice cream, sugary drinks, and confectionery products. France has imposed a tax on drinks with added sugar, and Britain is cracking down the same way. High in fat, salt, and grease, rather than sugar, you pay more tax-wise. Sweden, Norway ban ads for anything that sells that kind of thing. All over Europe, they're taking a very strong approach. In other words, they're using taxes to fight obesity. And that's tough here in the U.S. People don't want government to regulate what they eat, and I can understand that. I'm a freedom of choice guy. Remember when New Yorker's Michael Bloomberg tried to restrict the sale of soda in containers larger than 16 ounces. Oh, there was a wave of opposition. It was so strong that Bloomberg backed off of it, and it just didn't pass. So what we've done in this country, as composed of most of the other developed countries, we have barriers to strong obesity prevention, so we drifted more towards what we consider the second best policy of acceptance and treatment. In other words, we treat rather than prevail, rather to prevent. Treat rather than to prevent. And so what that means is you get these very costly treatments, prescription drugs, surgeries, cholesterol medicines galore, and that's our approach to health care. There are some reports that say that 70% of illnesses being treated in the United States today are preventable. But we don't prevent, we treat. We want to say you have the freedom to eat whatever you want to, and that we just will treat you. Now, again, I'm very pro choosing what you want to eat. But here's the thing. When you talk about your freedom of choice, you're saying, I want my freedom of choice to eat whatever I want. Okay, that's fine. I'll give you that freedom of choice. But I want my freedom not to have to pay for your bad choices. Because, you see, so many people, massive amounts on Medicaid, eat and drink whatever they want, get dramatically obese, get diabetes, heart problems, all kinds of diseases, kidney infections, whatever. They go off to the hospital. If they're on Medicaid, then I pay for that as a taxpayer. If they're on Medicare as a senior, I pay for that as a taxpayer. If they have no insurance at all and they go to the emergency room, they have to be treated by federal law. I pay for that as a taxpayer. So why should I or any of you listeners out there have to pay for someone else's bad choices? You see, there's freedoms in several games. Let anybody eat what they want. I don't care if you gouge McDonald's burgers or French fries from any number of chains and eat that four times a day, five times a day. That should be your choice as long as I don't have to pay for your bad decisions. You see where I'm coming from? And I don't know the answer to that, but it just seems like that if someone's getting on the dole on Medicaid or getting free treatment at the emergency room, there has to be a standard that makes sure that, here's the question, the doctor make you take a physical. You're given certain levels you've got to reach. And if you don't reduce your weight or take care of yourself or nutritionally watch what you eat, then maybe you just shouldn't live off the public dole. Maybe you shouldn't get all these benefits. Why should you and I, as concerned taxpayers, have to pay for someone's irresponsible food choices? A tough question, because, again, we don't want to be like Europe. We don't want to put taxes on everything we do. We don't want to limit your right to pick and choose your foods. But when you make terrible choices that make you obese, that cause disease, that costs an astronomical amount of money to take care of, to treat, then should the rest of us pay for your bad decisions? So that's a tough choice, and I understand that. But again, virtually every other developed nation in the country is trying to prevent we treat. We don't teach kids how to eat in school. They come to school. There ought to be a course in nutrition. Look, I want every kid to be able to do algorithms and have their calculus and chemistry and have all those courses. But 90% of the kids that take those courses are not going to use those in later life. Nutritional choices, 100% of those kids will use those choices in later life. So I think we ought to get back to the basics and teach people how to live in high school, to show them how to fill out a 1040 income tax return, how to balance a checkbook, how to make good nutritional choices and what to eat, how to live a productive but self-fulfilling life that doesn't put them on the public dole. I think that's a very reasonable request. I don't see anything wrong with that at all. And I think most of you out there will agree with me on that. Again, we should treat is what we're doing now. I'd rather be preventing right down the line. Save us money. Save you and I's tax dollars money. Make people more healthy. Overall, better quality of life. Jim Brown here on the Common Sense Show. Going to come back and talk about millennials and politics right after this message.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
This is the old Cajun contractor Michael King here, host of Home Talk USA. Did you know that you can now shop and purchase online quality name brand tools and accessories at discounted prices from one of the top most visited online hardware stores, The Handy City? That's right. You can now take the hassle of having to go out and purchase these products. Just think, you can now order all of the top name brands from the comfort of your home computer and have it delivered straight to you in most cases. And the shipping is free. All the products are personally endorsed by me and guaranteed 100% by the manufacturer by using our online store. You'll be also helping to keep our popular home improvement radio show on the air. So please check out our website today at TheHandyCity.com. That's TheHandyCity.com. I'll say it again, TheHandyCity.com. Quality products at discount prices straight to you. I have only one thing I can say. Ça c'est le bon temps relay. Let the good times roll. Yai!
Have you ever wondered who the second person to discover gravity was? When you're in the mood for a treat, would you go to the second best bakery in town? Or how about the name John Breckinridge? Recognize it? If you don't, that's because he came in second to Abraham Lincoln. The firsts are first for a reason. Just how ID Stronghold was the first to create the technology to protect your credit cards from thieves with RFID chip scanners. ID Stronghold products block signals from those scanners, so thieves can't capture your critical data. Get a stronghold on your personal information and protect your family too. Don't settle for the second best wallet. Pick up ID Stronghold wallets for everyone on your list this holiday season. They're the perfect stocking stuffer, with leather wallets starting as low as $20 on Walmart.com, eBay, Amazon, and QVC. Save 10% by using coupon code PRESENT for a limited time. That's coupon code PRESENT, only on IDStronghold.com. IDStronghold.com.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder. Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body. Why take another pill? Treat your aches and pains with Sunshine Pillows. Microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body heating wraps. Sunshine Pillows and wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it, even while driving. Sunshine Pillows are designed with your comfort in mind, will not burn you, and will stay balanced on your body to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunshine Pillows start at just $20. Join hundreds of our happy customers and see why Sunshine Pillows has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Click sunshine-pillows.com and take the Sunshine Pillow Challenge. That's sunshine-pillows.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Well, we're still in the holiday season, just got through Christmas. And I found it interesting, there's a new Pew Research report out, a survey of Americans showing that our millennials are younger people, 25 to 30, that range, are less religious than older Americans and less likely to identify with the religious group. In fact, 43% of millennials, almost half, say that Christmas to them is more cultural than a religious holiday. And I wonder what's going on. Are we losing those kids? What effects does that have on religion? I want to talk to someone in the know. Reverend Mike Smalley is my guest. He's a founder and president of World Reach Ministries out of Rockwell, Texas, has formed founded 64 churches in Africa and Central America. And he's a good guy to ask these questions to. Hey, Reverend Smalley, glad you joined us on the Common Sense Show today.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for having me.
Reverend Mike, I've listened to you on the internet. I've followed you for some time. You've got a worldwide ministry. You've got a number of books you've written, and by the way, they're all on my website at jimbrownusa.com. Yeah, and so you've got a good sense of older folks like me and the younger generation. Are we losing a lot of our younger people? Are they tuned out from the religious consequences of something like Christmas? Or is it a stage they're going through? Are we going to get them back? You have seen so many young people grow up to be a little older, not quite as old as me. You're not nearly as old as me. But what is happening in the world today? Is there anything different going on, or is this a phase that young people are going through?
You know, those are great questions, and I think the answer is a little bit of both. Millennials, certainly, more than any other American generation, are on paper less religious. But But you have to remember, too, that they tap into religious things that weren't available to you and I when we were younger. A lot of them watch sermons online instead of going to church. They do podcasts. They, you know, millions subscribe to the daily devotional Jesus Daily and read it every day but never go to church. So you have some of that. Then you do have a higher percentage of that age group that just don't tap into any of the above at all. And I do think some of it's a phase. Most pastors that I work with tell me that a lot of their young people that they quote-unquote lose when they get to be about 20 end up coming back to the church and they're about 32 or 33 and they start having their first couple of kids. And then, you know, they've kind of had their season of sowing their wild oats and now they're kind of rethinking their belief system again. And the other thing about this generation, of course, is that millennials are very, more than any other previous generation, they demand authenticity. And if they see anything other than complete transparency in leadership roles in anything, whether it's politics, their job, their church, they tend to tune out. And another thing, too, is that so many millennials, because of the uniqueness of their culture and their raising, with the internet that they grew up with their Xboxes and all their technology that none of us have, they've experienced a lot more of world thought than you and I were exposed to as a kid. You know, we didn't know what people of other religions believed growing up very much, and we certainly didn't have a lot of them living here. But now they're exposed to so many different things. And a lot of the millennial culture just has a mental understanding of what their grandparents and their parents had. And they've really never had their own unique encounter in church with the Lord, et cetera. And so they're kind of living on the experience of their parents and grandparents' cultural understanding of Judaism or Christianity. And it's not translating into their day-to-day life or their interests.
I think you summed it up right. I don't sense it's that dramatically different. I think you made an excellent point about what the internet has done. I've read where some Catholic churches you can take confession over the internet and or over a telephone line, and they've got a mobile confessional down here in Louisiana right there that goes from town to town. It's a little bus, you know, that goes from town to town to get to people who are a little bit more infirm, can't get out, and even the sacraments along the same line. So let me ask you this, though, Reverend Smalley. I've had some people tell me that that particularly in the more doctrinal religious faiths, Catholicism, Episcopalians, probably Baptists, that they have, some young people tell me they've drifted away because we're preaching the church rather than preaching Christianity. We're preaching the doctrines and of the church and the structure of the church, and the priest, you know, is still in the same role that, or even the minister, say the Baptist ministers in the same role today that they were 100 years ago when people often couldn't read or write. They were relying on the, you go back in history, that's how we developed a lot of these ministers, because they could read, and so they could read to the congregation and let them know what the Bible said. Is the church taking too strong a role, and that's driving millennials away? They're looking for the meat of religion and not the structure of the church. What do you think about that?
I think that's very true. And I think one thing that studies show, and just talking to young people in the millennial generation, is more than probably any other previous American generation, they're activists by nature. It's just in the DNA of that generation. If a local congregation or synagogue is not actively engaged and really making a difference in their own community through outreach programs and helping the indigent and the poor, or even heavily involved overseas in world missions, they just don't get it. They just don't understand what the purpose of the church or Christianity is. It's just kind of contained in the four walls of that local building. So if a church stays inwardly focused, it generally has no appeal to millennials at large.
What do you think about you have do you claim a denomination? Are you a Baptist minister, or do you more preach a Christian message? What is your approach? How do you peg yourself, if you will?
Well, our denomination has always been non-denominational, and I've spoken in everything you can imagine: Methodist, Assembly of God, and everything in between, Baptist, Presbyterian, all of it. We've kept it that way so we can walk in different doors and help people in different backgrounds and different people groups. So we've tried not, it's not as bad as it used to be, but many years ago, if you were, say, Baptist, the Methodist wouldn't listen to you. If you were a Methodist, the Presbyterian wouldn't listen to you. And so a lot of that's been taken down now, and it's not as strong as it used to be. But for many reasons, we just chose to go non-denominational so we would be able to incite more people than if we were labeled one particular denomination.
Do you think that that we've adapted enough in terms of what we do, in this, the way the service is performed? I know I read in Brazil where there's a priest down in Brazil that gets 100,000 people come on Sundays to services down there, and the priest sings and is very musical oriented, and people flock to go do something like go to services like that. Evangelicalism throughout this country is growing extremely fast, and there is more upbeat music, and I don't know how your ministry is, but we've kind of modernized to draw in a lot of those young people. Do you think that Christianity is doing enough, or are the Baptists and the Presbyterians and the Lutherans adapting enough to make it appealing to these young people today?
I think so. I think it's almost gotten to the point it's almost too much. I think churches have wisely tried to, you know, bring things up to current speed a little bit. You know, the only place you hear an organ now is at a funeral or a baseball game. So I think the churches kind of saw that and tried to bring in some more, you know, modern music and worship, and that's helped. A lot of churches still have a strong base of elderly people that don't want that kind of, you know, quote, modern worship. So they have traditional services in the morning, and then later in the afternoon they have a contemporary service. The message is basically the same. They just change the way the music is done and what kind of instruments are played. But the bottom line is that pastors have to also come back and say, you know, nobody goes to their dentist to get a haircut. So people go to church for a specific reason, and it's not because they expect American Idol. So I think pastors have to be cautious that they don't go too crazy trying to, quote, reach people or identify, because it tends to backfire. When you talk to millennials, they really want substance. And so a lot of American religion has turned into kind of a life coach thing, where you just, it's all about attitude or the,
you know, Reverend Mike.
Chanting and youth. Yes.
Hey, Mike, listen, I've got to take a little break right now. Stay with me, Drew. I'm talking Reverend Mike Smalley on my website, www.jimbrownusa.com, all of his books, and I'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNlive.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FiveStarSoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But did you know you can have tax-free access to your life insurance while you're still alive? You can use the life benefits of your life insurance to grow your money with certainty and guarantees. No stock market risk, no tax risk, and no penalties. Call Life Benefits if you'd like a free book about how this can be done. Call 702-660-7000. That's 702-660-7000.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a four-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hi, I'm Rick Osick, president of Famous Footwear. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time. But some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why Famous Footwear supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
We're talking about young people, religion, the lack of participation in some areas, and my guest is Reverend Mike Smalley. He's one of America's most dynamic and sought-after speakers. He's written any number of books. His ministry can be found at length on my website at jimbrownusa.com. Reverend Mike, let me ask you this. Another thing that some young people tell me that they feel like we do an awful lot of praying in the services today, and maybe not enough good works, if you will, in the book of James. And I've studied at length the book of James, the Apostle James, and the Old Testament. I've named after James. My grandmother named me after James, as my dad. In any event, James has a very simple message. He doesn't say you got to go to church every Sunday and you got to continually pray to the good Lord. His basic message is, number one, accept Jesus Christ, accept the Lord, but he just as much emphasizes doing good works. He differs with the Apostle Paul in that regard. And I guess what I'm asking you is that some people tell me that, you know, people go and pray on Sunday and they go on Wednesday and they go to Mass so much, or they go to the service so much, where they would rather be helping in their community. I live down in an area that's been devastated after Hurricane Katrina and the BP disaster, and young people rolled up their sleeves and did so many good works. And one of the knocks I'm hearing is that we're maybe doing too much praying and not enough helping our community. What do you think about that argument that young people make to me?
Well, I hear that as well. And, you know, it's interesting because I'm about 20 miles from Garland, Texas, where we had 11 people killed last night in this horrible tornadoes that are hitting the south in Texas. And so I noticed immediately there was a call for churches this morning to meet at certain places with bottles of water, you know, hammers and tools and blankets and things of that nature to do just what you mentioned, to help, to put the love of Christ onto the street. And I think you're exactly right. That wasn't as important to our grandparents' generation as it is to the millennials. They really want to be a part of a church that's making a difference. This generation's grown up more blessed. A lot of them know it, and a lot of them, of course, don't. But they recognize the good stuff they've got, and they're more exposed to news because of their telephones, the Internet. So they see the tragedies around the world, and they want to be a part of doing what James talks about, which is, you know, putting your improving your faith by your good deeds. And so they're out trying to make a difference. And I just, what I was mentioning earlier, so many who don't, who just kind of keep the programs of the church within the four walls of the church, it's a big turnoff to young people who want to make a difference with their life long term.
Yeah, that's a good message that ministers all over America hopefully will pick up on, because there's a yearning out there. There's an effort to want to contribute. There's an effort to want to be relevant. And there is an effort to want to understand things that are very difficult to understand. And religion plays a role there as long as it's encompassing in terms of a lifetime commitment to a variety of things. And as you said, I think you made a good example, not just staying within the four walls itself. So I hope that's something we learn in the future, because it seems like, yes, we're a progressing nation. We are developing more and more. But as you just said, you think your life's going along pretty well, and then a tornado comes along and snuffs out 11 lives, as it did last night. And we've sure seen that all over the South and all over America, Hurricane Sandy in the East Coast. So you've got to keep all that in perspective in terms of dealing with your own life. So let me ask you this. How about, do you baptize people yourself in your ministry?
I do.
What role, tell me about baptism a little bit, if you will. How important is that to a new committed Christian or a young person that wants to bring rebirth into the church? Is that basic? Is it fundamental? How important is baptism within the religious community, do you think, today?
I think that scripturally it's really important. It's not what makes a person become a Christian. It's kind of a public proof that they have chosen to become one. Baptism is meant to be done in front of people. It's kind of like a marriage, and you know, you invite your family and friends to witness your vows to a marriage. And so baptism is kind of a public way of saying to your family and friends, I've chosen to give my life to Jesus Christ and follow him, and I'm to identify with his will for my life. And that's kind of what it's for. And so it's really important. I travel and speak in churches full time, and then obviously for the holidays for the next week or two. But so my ministry is not as much of a traditional pastor, so I'm not in one congregation each week. So I don't baptize as much as I used to. But I go to some churches who never drain the water out of their tank. It's always there. They do it every week. Others do it, you know, once every 3 or 4 months. But it's a really, it's a very impactful thing for the actual individual, but it's a command in scripture, and it does something to us when we publicly say, you know what, I'm not ashamed to make my faith public to my family and friends, and I want to move forward with God's will for my life, and here's the proof that I'm willing to go through a public baptism to identify with the Lord.
And I heard you talk about the tank, and I was fully submersed. I got the full Monty when I got baptized. I was fully submersed, and I'm glad I did. I guess, if John the Baptist did that to Jesus Christ, it seems like the way to do it. But I suppose it's the symbolism of the message. I don't want to take issue with my Catholic friends or those other Christian religions that sprinkle water on your head and say you baptize. I'm not trying to get into a fight here with my radio listeners here, Reverend Mike, but
sure.
But you do full submersion baptism, as I understand from what you're saying, right?
Yeah, I do. And the only reason that I do is because every baptism in Scripture is a fully immersion baptism. There's no examples of sprinkling in the Scriptures. So that's just why, I just model as they did there. And I don't take issue with others who do the sprinkling either. But for me personally, I just try to model what I find there in the New Testament.
In your evangelical efforts where you preach in many churches, which is, there's been a long tradition of ministers who travel, but versus those who are the set minister in a location, are you invited to fill in for another minister? Do you conduct a particular gospel ministry for, say, a week or something like that in a location or several nights? Or is there a particular focus, or do you just respond to requests and whatever happens to come along? How do you structure your ministry?
Well, that's a great question. Thank you for asking. I'm on the road about 40-plus weeks a year. We, of course, speak all over a lot of television and a lot of local churches. And our emphasis is always on one of two things. It's either focused on the wisdom of God, which is basically applying scripture principles to your day-to-day life. And we teach a lot on the presence of God because we believe if people can really get into God's presence, that's where everything changes. And the goal, of course, is to change people's lives for the better. So those are the two focuses that we usually bring to the table.
Now, you've got extensive tapes and books. You've written a number of books. Your website is strictly your name, isn't it, Reverend? It's Mike Smalley with an E, SMALLEY.com. People can go there, or they can go to my website at JimBrownUSA.com, and there's a link there to go to Reverend Smalley's various information. So you're pretty productive, I see there, Reverend. I mean, you write a lot. You have your ministers there. You have tapes and CDs. I mean, you're not slowing down, are you?
We're certainly not. We've got a couple of new books coming out in the first quarter of 2016, and we've got a free ebook on our website there at MikeSmalley.com on prayer that people can download. And of course, we're on Facebook and Twitter as well. But, you know, there's just a lot of hurting people, and I try to operate my life on the premise that there's an ocean inside of me because of the Lord and what he's done, and there's a desert all around me, and it's just who can we touch and who can we impact, and there's always somebody close to us who needs a helping hand.
Well, Reverend Smalley, I hope the good Lord brings you much success in the coming year as we wind down this year, a speculative year in terms of history and in terms of intensity and in the world situation, but I wish you every success, and I hope after the first year you'll come back on our show again.
It would be an honor to do that, and I wish you the best as well. God bless you today.
All right, thank you. Take care. Interesting guy, Reverend Mike Smalley, has joined us today. Again, you can find out all about the guy's very productive. I mean, if you really want to study the Bible, if you want a variety of information or questions asked, just go to his website. His name is Smalley, is SMALLEY. So it would be MikeSmalley.com. And again, on my website at JimBrownUSA.com, you can find all the information. We're going to take a break for the 10 o'clock news to see what's going on in the world. Then we'll come back. Well, gosh, we've got a lively second hour. I've got the amazing Kirsten. Remember him? Kirsten has been on Johnny Carson's show. He always makes projections for us. He's a regular at the end of the year. So we'll have him on. Also, Dr. Ron Silverman. I want to talk about this new movie, Concussion, how it affects high school football players. So freshen up your coffee. Let's get the news, and I'll be back here real soon.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Familiar Evil, the chilling true story by Ronna Gray of the international search for a television personality that exposed his dark side. Winner of 11 National Book Awards, including Best True Crime of 2017. Familiar Evil goes inside the criminal investigation that sent shockwaves from Louisiana to London. Available in hardback and ebook at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Books A Million, with signed copies at FamiliarEvil.com.
Know what's always on my mind, kid? Safety. I live, eat, and breathe safety. When I wake up in the morning, I have a large cup of safety with two sugars and a dash of safety. Safety matters. Your safety, my safety, everybody's safety. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger has the products, services, and resources to help keep our facilities safe and our people safer. Now pass me one of those safety donuts over there. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.